All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order. The betting calendar is absolutely loaded right now. Baseball in full swing. NBA, NHL playoffs already underway. If you want to get really spicy, you can even bet the WNBA. Look, I'm not judging. Action's action. The question is, where are you betting? Because that matters just as much as what you're betting. That's why I go to mybookie.ag. And why you should too. New to MyBookie? Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. If your first bet loses, you get a full refund up to $500 back in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for showing up. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Indeed, it is the place, and Charch is with us again. Been too long. I miss a week with you. I feel like I've missed a lot. How are you, pal?
I'm good. I was in Philadelphia 1 week ago for a work conference, was not able to join the Zabe cast, which made me feel bad as well. But,
so in other words, you spent a month spent a month in Philadelphia 1 week, as W.C. Fields once said, as a backhanded slap at the city. Of brotherly love, where tonight, Church, the All-Star game takes place. How was your conference, by the way?
Yes. It was good. Now, let me mention this. Two things about Philly that I want to touch on. One is I'd never had the Philly cheesesteak. I'd been to Philly a couple times, never got a cheesesteak, so went out of my way to get a cheesesteak.
Did you go to Pat's? Go to Geno's? Where'd you go?
Joe's Steaks. Joe's Steaks. Joe's. Now, I tried to go to Angelo's. Everybody was like, go to Angelo's. It's on a Tuesday night where normally you and I would be filming this very Zabecast.
Yes.
And so get in the Uber, dial up the Uber, said, take me to Angelo's, and go across town to get to Angelo's on a Tuesday night. They're closed. And I didn't know that. I jump out. The Uber guy drops me off about a quarter block away. It's not far. It's just like three doors down. It's not his fault. But the Uber app doesn't tell you that your destination is closed like Google Maps. You put in a restaurant destination in Google Maps and it's closed.
Yeah, it'll say, like, it'll even say,
bong, this could be closed.
It'll say, might be closed when you arrive. I've had that happen.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know it. Be. But the Uber app doesn't do that. So Uber takes us off. We're in some part of town we don't know. And now I need to have a different cheesesteak. So I flagged down a lady that's walking by. I'm like, where is there anywhere around here I can get a good cheesesteak? And she directs me down three streets, take a right, go like six streets. I decide I'm going to walk it. I don't really know what part of town I'm in, but it seems reasonably safe. So I'm like, okay, I'll just walk it. And it was fine. There was, there was a lot of weed shops and a lot of porn shops and stuff like that. But it was all in all, the walk was fine. We end up at Joe's Steaks. 4.8 out of 5 is the ratings on Joe's Steaks in Philadelphia. This might have been the worst sandwich I've ever had in my
life. Wow.
It was so bad, and I wanted, like, the epic Philly cheesesteak. Here's how it went wrong. Number one, I want this thing slathered in cheese. It's a cheese steak. But here's what they do, Zabe. They slice your hoagie in half, and then he put one slice of cheese, like a singles. Slice of
like
cheese
a Kraft
on it,
single out of the cellophane?
On it.
Okay.
Kind of like that. Two slices on it, and then this. And I thought this was really wrong. The cheesesteak's supposed to be chopped steak, right? It's supposed to be chopped up steak. It's hamburger here at Joe's Steaks. So they put hamburger on it. And so I'm like, that seems weird. I threw in some lettuce and peppers because I like vegetables on it as on the top of it. And then I bit into it. I'm like, this is completely ordinary. This is something I would have expected from a gas station. I could have got this at a Wagga or whatever.
Did you tell them, hey, this sucks? Or you didn't have the balls to do it because it's Philly.
I'm going to go back. No. What am I? Well,
might
yeah,
get
right,
beat up.
Exactly. Get the shit beat out of me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now here. 4.5 stars on Google reviews. But yeah, no good. No bueno. I mean, you could have gone to Shea's Steaks, D'Alessandro's, Oh Brother Philly, OK Cheesesteak, Oh Brother, Del Rossi's, Jim's, Sonny's, Angelo's, Benny's, DH's, Pat's, Uncle Gus's, Cleaver's, Bob's, Campo's Deli,
all
Skinny
all
Joey's.
Yes.
Or you could have gone to Donkey's Place, which is a real cheesesteak place in Camden, New Jersey, across the river. Donkey's Place. Here's the place. Dirty little secret, and you found it out. It ain't fucking special. None of them are. They're just known for it for whatever reason. And it's a sandwich that's fine depending on how it's made and the quality of meat and the proportion of meat to the bread. It's also the quality of the bread. Now, if you have a steak place that bakes their own bread in-house, you got a big leg up because they're getting fresh bread every single day. But not everyone does. So, yeah. Well, sorry to hear that. Will you be trying another cheesesteak in Philly?
Here's the thing. Now, the lady I walked up to on the street in Philadelphia, who presumably is from the neighborhood, she didn't know I was a Vikings fan. If she did, like if I was wearing Vikings gear, I would think she purposely sent me to Joe's, intentionally leading me astray.
I don't think.
But instead, I think she just got really bad taste in cheesesteaks.
I don't think Philly fans would care because, to my recollection, you guys have never hurt Philly, Minnesota. No, you ever hurt them in a big game, big spot? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, sorry about that. At least your air flight was convenient and easy. Your air travel was good back and forth to Philly.
Can I tell you about how that went? Can I just complain for a minute?
Yes, I led you right into that because you said, I got a nightmare travel story. And I'm like, okay, let's hear it.
It is a nightmare travel story. Okay. So here's what happened. I'll try to give you the rundown on this. My flight's at 3:00. Is boarding at 3:15. I leave my conference a little early at like 1:30 to get to the airport, get through security, all that. Number one,
this is the
Philadelphia airport.
Yeah. Sorry.
The Philadelphia airport is the one airport left that doesn't seem to realize that everybody is scrambling to plug in their device. They don't have all the charging stations that you normally have in a gate. What they have is the one outlet where they plug in the vacuum once a night when they vacuum that gate. That's
and,
it.
And
everybody's scrambling and battling for
and
that.
And that plug is looser than a Southside whore working the street corner. Your charger will fall right out of that. Disgusting.
Which always happens on the planes, by the way. The plane chart, when you plug into the plane outlet, it always just falls out.
Planes
bouncing around, thing falls out all the time. All right, so I'm in the gate. I'm waiting for my flight. And then everybody's phones light up at the same exact time. And we're all getting the flash flood warning in Philadelphia.
No.
Like, this is Philadelphia. They get flash floods in Philly?
Yeah.
I did not know that. So then, correspondingly, we're going to be late. And that does not surprise me a lot because we're getting the flash flood warning. But after waiting, we go an hour and a half late to board. Then they decide to board us. We get on the plane and we sit on the tarmac for 3.5 hours.
Oh, Jesus.
We get out.
Oh,
we pull away from the tarmac.
Oh,
we pull away
Jesus.
From the tarmac. We go get into the long lines of people that are back flight planes that are backed up, Zabe, to get out of Philly after the flash flood warning and all the rain that came with it. We get to the point where we are number two to take off.
Oh.
And the captain was on the air. Oh, we are number two to take off. We should be leaving here.
As captain speaking, sorry about the delay there. A lot of flash flooding here in Philadelphia, but we're about ready to go here. A longer delay than we wanted, but we're going to get you on your way out west. Okay, thank you.
Yep. I've already been on the plane over 3 hours.
Jesus.
And then he comes back 2 minutes later. He says,
I've got some bad news. FAA rules
say that no matter what situation you're in, if your passengers have been on the tarmac for more than 3 hours, you must return to the gate. So we gave up our spot second to take off so we can turn around and taxi back to the gate. So then that's about 15, 20, you know, the taxi, right? These big airports,
by the way,
that's like 15 to 20 minutes.
By the way, that rule was put in because there had been some nightmare tarmac incidents involving JetBlue at LaGuardia that stretched upwards of 5-6 hours. And someone said there has to be a limit to this. But that's interesting that you ran up against what would have been the preferred thing to do, which is to just go over by a little bit. But that's what happens when government makes arbitrary black and white rules.
Right. And now I think in some cases, people are sitting on the tarmac for 5 hours. They need their medication. You know, I think there's I can understand why they
bring it on
the
plane.
I
don't think it's that. I think it's kids. I think kids and people that are tough to deal with in terms of their anxiety, they get rammy, you get a potentially very hostile situation. Okay. So what a nightmare this is. So you taxi back to the gate
for this. Yeah. So the woman next to me is I'm in just like a regular seat. I'm on the aisle. The woman to my left is a fairly large, overweight, older lady. And she just conks out. She sleeps through the whole 3.5 hours. She doesn't even know what's happened. She doesn't even know we didn't take off.
Is she snoring?
The guy next to her. Yes.
Does she smell like Joe's cheesesteak?
No, but Zabe, I kid you not.
She
was letting him rip in her sleep.
No.
It was bad.
No. So you were.
She crop dusted. She crop dusted
you. And so did you hear them or just smell them?
Just smell them.
Oh God.
But I'm confident. You can sense how fresh it is, how close you are to the source, right? You can tell like that there's a pungency where like the molecules per thousand are a lot higher.
Oh yes.
Close to the source than they are farther away. And I'm right on the source.
Oh,
and
God.
She's sitting there. And I'm confident it was her.
Did you feel like nudging her to wake her up and go, ma'am, I know you're sleeping right now, but you are farting up a storm. You're disgusting. Please stop.
I could never.
Please do everything in your power. Of course you can't. And honestly, even if you told her that, there's no remedy. There's no remedy for being in close proximity to savages. And that is part of the problem with trying to travel around this great country of ours, is there's a lot of people who are absolute poverty-ass savages who need not be dealt with in any way, shape, or form. But you got no choice.
Well, she's just an old lady who's asleep and doesn't know she's farting. You know, it wasn't that bad. Now,
that is bad, Church. We live in a society. You shouldn't be. First of all, she was obese and she was going out over the edge of the seat into your space. Number one, number two,
she took the armrest,
of course. And you know, number two, she couldn't control herself.
flatulence-wise. You know, a proper society would put these people on the no-fly list. But we have a society that believes that. Well, we do. We have a society that believes that.
Flatulence.
Yes. Well, seriously, the flatulent list. But, okay. So, anyway, okay. So you go back to the game.
I'm not quite done with this tale of horror quite yet. So now we drive back to our gate, and we have to go to a different gate because our old gate has since been filled. We go to a different gate, and it takes a while to get there, as you know, like every major airport. It takes like 15 minutes to drive to the gate.
Was it pouring rain at this point?
It was raining. Pouring had passed, but it was still actively raining. And then we're waiting, and I'm waiting because we're going to deplane. We have to deplane at the gate. That's part of the deal. They're going to resurface the plane and crew change as well.
Defartify it.
Yes, and it needed it. Nothing happened. We're sitting at the gate, and they're not letting people off. They're not letting people off. They're not letting people off. And eventually, 20 minutes later, captain comes on.
I'm sorry. We've got more bad news. The jetway is completely broken.
Ah! It
cannot extend to the plane. We have to go to a different gate. We are waiting. We are waiting.
Oh my God.
To get pushed away from this gate, go to the other gate.
Oh my God.
We wait to get the thing that pushes the plane away from the gate. It eventually shows up. And then we got to go drive another, 10 minutes to next gate. Get to that gate, and they say, we have to do a crew change. We're scrambling a new crew in Philadelphia for you.
In the rain,
don't know how long it's
with flooding,
be.
Who knows when they're going to get to the airport, if they're going to get on time, what roads have been washed out, trees down, traffic up the wazoo. Okay.
Right. So now we deplane at new gate G26 or something, and at that gate, they had an available... God bless them for having an available door, I guess. But it turns out that gate inside is already filled with people who are waiting for some other flight.
Of course.
We come out, and we're all out. We're all waiting. They tell us, wait near the gate. So we're all in the corridor of the airport waiting for news from our gate. And this woman who's working at the gate eventually comes on the mic, and she says, we can't hear it. It's only going out to the gate, not out into the walkway, into the corridor.
Oh, my God.
We can't hear. And this is the last straw for some of these people. They start yelling at the gate agent. Like, we can't hear you. What are we supposed to do? And the meltdown is starting. And the savagery is starting. And eventually we find out it's going to be two more hours for them to scramble a new crew for us to do this flight. And then we board. 2 hours later, we board for the second time. My flight, which was with time zone changes and everything else, I was supposed to arrive in Las Vegas at 4 p.m. I arrived at 2 a.m. I had sat in my seat between the tarmac, sitting at the gate, everything else, the flight from Philly to Vegas. I sat in that seat for 10 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, welcome to air travel in America, of which, honestly, these things happen. I believe that one of the great, not misnomers, but one of the great underestimated things in all of travel is people think the summer is easy. They're like, well, in the winter you get ice storms and snow. No. There's more problems in the summer. There's more flooding. There's more thunderstorms. There's more stuff that will delay flights in the summer, and more people are moving around because it's summer and they want to take some leisure travel. I believe on the whole, winter travel is less problematic. You have to have a pretty bad snowstorm, which doesn't happen nearly as much as thunderstorms. Thunderstorms will happen over half the entire country on some summer days. Yeah. And they don't fly through them for obvious reasons, lightning and turbulence and everything else. And then the mayhem on the ground. Well, that sucks. So was the conference any good? What was it for? Fantasy football?
Fantasy sports industry, yeah. The fantasy sports, the business of fantasy sports.
Did anything important get decided, done, agreed upon, collaborated with?
No, I mean, not, you know, there's always crazy. There are all these crazy ideas that people have where they're starting this new company that they think has never been tried before. Zabe, I got it for you. We're going to do fantasy football, but it's a stock market. You're going to buy and sell players. And then the more people buy it, the more the value is going to go up. And you're trying to get the biggest portfolio you can. Zabe, I have heard that 20 companies, 20 years, every single conference, there's somebody who's doing a stock market game. And I'm like, have you done no research on the history of that this has been tried 20 times?
And why does it not work?
Nobody wants to do your stock market game.
Why doesn't it work?
People do not want to play that way. The market has said, I don't want that.
Because there's not a lot of day traders that also play fantasy that get off on day trading and doing fantasy football.
I think they'd rather just buy stocks. There was another guy, speaking of stocks, here was his idea. His idea was, you draft a team, and so you take a guy like AJ Brown, and you'd get a whole roster. I convert those players into real life stocks. I turn AJ Brown into Walmart.
Oh, Jesus.
And now you're buying and selling Walmart. And I'm like, what the? Why would anybody do this? That's nothing to do with AJ Brown anymore. You just converted AJ Brown to Walmart. God. What does this even mean?
Well, you're not implying that there's no new ideas under the sun, because they're all chasing what you hit upon with guillotine leagues. You hit upon a new way to do it that maybe some people would have said, oh, come on, Charge, that's a stupid thing. Nobody's going to like guillotine. And it was a huge hit.
People did say that.
I'm sure they did.
It turned out that people did like it.
Well, there's got to be new variants of fantasy that are still out there that somebody's going to come up with one or another. It's all about creativity and catching the eye of the populace. I would imagine that the guy who first decided to put cheese in a squirt can was laughed at. And he's like, no, trust me, bro. It's going to be a can with a nozzle, and you just go, and a thing of cheese comes out. You can put it on crackers. You can put it on a steak sandwich. It's going to hit. It's going to slap. Yeah, but don't you have to make that cheese like full of chemicals to keep it supple and able to squirt out? Yes, we do, and we don't care.
And people will still love it. It's going to taste delicious, and they're still going to eat cheese out of a can, dude, which they do.
I love a can of cheese whiz and wheat thin crackers more than I can express.
Yes.
Even better.
That is the
even better. How about this? Cheese, a can of cheese whiz with a bag of pretzel chips. So in other words, flattened pretzels. You've had pretzel chips, right?
I've never tried that. Oh yeah. Those are delicious. Yeah. That would be very good. I like any cheese in which, for legal reasons, cannot be spelled C-H-E-E-S-E, to me, it means two things. One is I probably shouldn't eat it, and two, I bet it's delicious.
Is that why Cheese Whiz is spelled with a Z? It's legally not allowed to?
Legally, it is not a cheese product.
Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good, maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino. That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at mybookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. All right. So I want to talk about a couple sports things here so we can keep our license as a sports podcast. I'm sure you're aware of the StubHub, not controversy, but lawsuit that has roiled the ticket industry.
Delicious.
Where the attorney general in Texas and a couple class action suits pretty much peeled back the window that the CEO of StubHub was running a scalping business inside of the platform, the container of StubHub, which purported to be just a marketplace from which buyers could meet sellers and exchange tickets at an agreed-upon price. Fucking outrageous. Yes. Like, there is not a jail sentence harsh enough for this asshole, and yet my expectations of him meeting any real repercussions are just about zero because nothing ever happens. The bad people in our society seemingly never pay a price.
I'm hoping that this guy, you know, I don't know that he will go to jail, although he should. This seems illegal to me, but you know, this is just a class action lawsuit against him, of which he should be held accountable for this.
Right.
But you're the CEO of StubHub. You are already making hand over fist some portion of all of those absurd fees. When I'm trying to buy a $75 ticket and you're slathering on $30 more of fees.
Yes.
And you're telling me that wasn't enough profit for you? You had to open a ticket broker side gig and give yourself priority seating for all that?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Zane. Outrageous. I mean,
at what point does your personal greed get, like, how much more do you need? You're already the CEO of StubHub. How much more do you need than that?
Personal. Where does one's personal ethics come into play is what you want to ask. And I'd say, that's a cute notion. That anybody at that level of corporate business in America has any sense of propriety, like, you know what, this is wrong, I shouldn't do this. And some would argue that he probably had shareholders going, yeah, you should probably do this because then we'll make even more money. All right. And if you want to, you don't want to do it, we'll fucking get another CEO to do it. What do these losers who want their Coldplay tickets know about anything? Fucking jack them up. Take it to the moon. Get all you can get. Fuck them. That's the thinking. And it's outrageous. And we have laws in this country that I wish for once would be goddamn enforced. And people would be punished to the full extent of the law.
Yes. Now, it's all because this is a scarcity play. There's only so many tickets for that venue. And when there are a lot more people that want the seats than the tickets, then we get these. And it is very much like a monopoly. In a lot of ways.
Yes.
There's only so many people that can have the seats in a very small number of places or people control the volume.
But there is a fascinating irony, though, happening right now that I don't know many people would have predicted. Many people thought that the rise of high-def TV, 4K TV, these new things like Cosm, where you can go and virtually watch in this 360, almost not 360, but like a 270-degree immersive experience, right? They thought this would like really crimp ticket sales to events. People wouldn't want to go. Why go when you got such a great thing at home? The opposite's been proven to be true, that in a world that is increasingly digital and increasingly fake, that a chance to have a real experience, a sweaty arm against sweaty arm in a place where people are yelling and screaming experience has become a premium. And so ticket prices keep going up, not just for concerts, but for sporting events as well. I'm looking at the All-Star game tonight, this afternoon. Incredibly, the get-in price has surged to over $1,200 this afternoon, when the get-in price for the All-Star game the last 3 years hovered in the mid-200s. Why? People want experiences. They want to go. And so the companies that have these platforms, they're like, let's fucking take them to the moon. Let's take them for a ride. Let's gouge the fuck out of them. Let's do whatever we can that is legal and then some things that are on the border of legal. And then we'll maybe even do some illegal shit. Who's going to catch us? And if they do catch us, who's really going to punish us and send us to jail? That's why we've got lawyers. Because I made $117 million last year. I can afford $40 million in lawyers to keep my ass out of jail. Fuck you. What are you going to do? That's America we live in now. It's too bad, but the problem is it's not going to get any better anytime soon because all these teams and all these leagues, as you know, Charge, they want immersive end-to-end control of their tickets.
Oh,
to the point at which they don't even let you digitally deliver the tickets until hours before the event sometimes because they want to hold to see what's going on with you and your data and the marketplace and everything else. It's fucking outrageous. But the answer to that is, well, then you're not going to go to the game. And you have no constitutional right to go to a game or a concert or anything else yet.
But have you heard of this? This is happening to people right along the same lines. they'll buy two tickets digitally to a show or whatever, travel perhaps cross country to get there, only to find out that those tickets are not quite yours yet.
No.
And if there's a much higher price, they can simply decide to not give you those tickets and instead sell them to somebody who's willing to pay a lot more, and you don't find out until 4 hours before the event.
Correct. Correct. So outrageous. Crooked. Outrageous. So yeah.
Yes. Now, related to this, I hope you don't mind another tangent. Sony, last week when we're not able to do a show, but I'm sure you saw this, Sony is discontinuing physical media sales in 2 years.
Meaning?
So that means
DVDs of movies, DVDs of games for their PlayStation platforms.
Your PlayStation games will never be on physical media starting in 2 years.
But obviously, movies are still going to be put out on DVD to some extent.
Yeah, you can still get Blu-ray movies, okay, your 4K movies, your DVDs, and you can put those in the player. As long as you have a player on your PlayStation, you can still do that. Now, the reason they're doing it, Zabe, is yes, digital outpaces physical sales by like 5-1. It's a pretty big margin. But the real reason, Zabe, is because if you, Zabe, own a physical copy of a game, you can resell that game. You can put it on eBay. You can put it in a garage sale. You can go to GameStop and you can get money for it. There is a thriving resale of physical media, but not digital media. Zabe, when you buy a game digitally,
yeah,
you control nothing. Nothing in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that when PlayStation puts out the next God of War, they can set the price on that, and they never have to change it. They don't have to change it due to market conditions.
Yeah.
They don't have to change it for any reason. They can just keep that list price and make people pay that list price for as long as they want or whatever price they choose. They get to control the entire pricing experience. And what's more, now that you can't have the physical media, there could very well come a day where the licensor, like this is a Star Wars game, but you don't license it for in perpetuity. You license it for 5 years or something.
Right.
And then the license comes up and Sony takes down the game and you can't even play it.
Yep.
You bought a game that you can't play later.
Luckily, this is why I now say I am cellophane rich, because I have so many PlayStation games still in their original cellophane that I just meant to go play once upon a time. And I would say, oh, the new Madden's coming out. I got to get the copy of it. And I'm going to play it eventually. And oh, shoot, I don't have time. I'm cellophane rich. I've got physical media and I've got a console that I think my PlayStation 5 does not require an active subscription to the internet to play, in theory. I believe I can just plug it in.
You can use it without plugging in. You'll obviously be short on features, but that's okay.
That's okay.
You can still, it'll work.
They'll probably try to find a way to cripple it. Probably try to find a way to say, oh, now you have to actually report home to use it. It's fucking bullshit. But you know what? At least Xbox is going under. So fuck them. So at least one
Xbox
entity is going down.
Almost dead.
Yeah.
Almost dead.
Yeah. All right.
They laid off 3,500 people between Xbox and their wholly owned studios.
Yeesh.
I could bore you on this. I could go all day on this. I've touched on it. We talked about this 6 months ago, a year ago, and I'm like, Xbox is dying.
Yeah.
This thing's over.
Yeah. So I mentioned DVDs and movies. I am very excited for The Odyssey, Christopher Nolan, even though it has been properly slaughtered for its wokeness, because Nolan, being the great director that he is, and having spent a ton of money on this movie. I mean, not just with the stars like Matt Damon, Charlize Theron, Anne Hathaway, and others. He spent a lot of money, and it's going to be pretty epic, and he wants to get awards for it. And the Academy has said specifically, you must cast a BIPOC person, you must cast a trans person, you must cast this, you must cast that. That's why Helen of Troy is black, and not particularly hot either. If they had cast, say, Halle Berry as Helen of Troy, I'd be like, fine, let's go. Fucking hot as shit. Yeah. The gal he got, I'm like, okay, and not my type, but that's fine, whatever. And then, of course, they had to get Elliot Page, formerly Ellen, what was her last? Was it Ellen? Page. Ellen Page.
Now
yeah.
Ellen. Now former, Ellen. Yeah, former Ellen. Ellen Page. Now Elliot Page.
Now Elliot Page, who got ripped for a transgender man, although she's very he's very petite now, but in great shape to play, I believe, Hercules, one of the main characters.
No, it's Achilles. I think it's okay. Achilles. And
another Greek god who you're
supposed
like
to be this like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's supposed to be somebody who is the ultimate warrior.
Yeah, right.
Like the strongest, biggest, and
And he's so Elliot tiny. Page Elliot is Page is so tiny.
Short, yeah, tiny and skinny.
you could pick him up and throw him into a trash can. I will put up with that because I'm so happy that big, massive budget movies of cool subjects like the fucking Odyssey, Greek mythology, are being put on the big screen. And by the big screen, you pointed out to me that the actual format that he filmed it in is only displayable in its true format in 24 theaters in the world.
That's right. they filmed it on 70 millimeter film. First ever major motion picture to be filmed in the 70 millimeter IMAX film.
So wait, wasn't The Hateful Eight by Tarantino 70 millimeters? Thought that was famously...
There's different standards of IMAX.
Okay.
This is the purest of the standards. And it's taller, by the way, than standard movies, of course, are very long letterboxed.
16 by 9.
IMAX has got a taller ratio than the 70 millimeter IMAX does. Now... only 24 theaters in the world can play it, and it's on film. It's no digital delivery. They get the actual big films, those gigantic IMAX canisters there, where the film is like that wide, and they get the actual film and the lines to see these movies. People are traveling across the country. The 24 theaters are North America and Canada. There's like 10 in the rest of the world. People are flying to cities to go see The Odyssey in this format because you can't get it that way anywhere
else. Yeah, yeah. Well, luckily for me, there is one of those theaters just 25 minutes from my home where I sit right now at the Airbus IMAX Theater at the Stephen F. Udvar-Hazy Center in Chantilly, Virginia, also known as the Air and Space Museum Annex out by Dulles, wow, International Airport. Have you ever been to the Udvar-Hazy?
No.
When you come to DC, when you come to DC to see Rush with me, we're going to go out to Udvar-Hazy. This guy, this very rich guy, Udvar-Hazy, he decided he was going to spend a lot of money and time and effort to collect as many great aircraft as he can and put them in a huge museum. Like this, the size of this museum, it's several aircraft hangars of size. And he has got so many cool fucking airplanes in there. Everything you could want. It's got the space shuttle in there. That's how big it is. Yes. It's got one of the space shuttles in there. And it's got an IMAX theater, which has the big banging screen. So I'm definitely going to see it there. Oh, and did I mention Charlize Theron and Anne Hathaway? Anne Hathaway with some new ones up front. Some JUCO transfers, according to the internet. Gotta love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You don't say. JUCO transfers.
Yeah, check her out. Hold on. Let me go to Grok and just confirm this. I've confirmed that the movie's going to be shown at the IMAX.
Are you going to confirm it visually? I mean, can you get like eyes on, or is this going to be something a little different than that?
Well, I'm going to trust Grok. Did Anne Hathaway get breast implants? Let's see what it says. Oh, shoot. No, there's no credible evidence or confirmation that she's gotten recent implants. Public discussion recently and rumors about her appearance on facial changes, e.g. a more lifted or youthful look, she directly addressed in a May 2026 L interview. So there's that.
Oh, well,
she looks great.
Well,
she looks
great. So that's it. Now you're not going to go.
No,
right?
I'm still in. Even though Charlize Theron looked like Skeletor at the recent press event for this movie. Did you see her? Oh, she looks so skinny, Church. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was like...
Is it off-putting?
Yes. Yes, very much so. It's like these Hollywood celebs are eating all the Ozempic in the world, and they won't stop. It's like, you're already skinny enough.
Well, you've lost 30 pounds.
I have.
Are you taking Ozempic?
But I am not...
Doing it the old way?
No, I'm doing it with a glucose monitor. That's how I'm doing it.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the old-fashioned way. If you needed to lose weight, if you needed to jab a needle in your stomach every day, would you do it? Isn't it, you'd give yourself the shot in the thigh, or not the thigh, the like your side?
I don't know if it's the stomach or not, but I was about to do it because the doctor said, hey, you got to do something. Your A1C is out of control. And I was like, God damn it, I don't want to get on a medication that you can't ever get off and could have possibly some side effects. I said, I've got to be able to drop anchor and figure out, a way to do this. And so the glucose monitor was something that gamified my eating habits, where I kept checking it. And I was like, ooh, okay, this burrito from Chipotle with the white rice sends the glycemic index straight through the roof. And so I just obsessed about keeping that number like a game in the right zone, and it led to what I was able to shed some weight, which is good. Let's hope I keep it off.
Good for attaboy. I'm proud of you. Keep that going. That's
so
fantastic.
All right. So
I did a quick look, by the way, at your Smithsonian Theater to see if I could get seats to any recent showings. The answer is no. No available seats.
Wow.
At the Lockheed IMAX Theater, Washington, D.C.
Okay. We're going to, luckily I'm taping this on two different devices because my Riverside crapped out, but I've got a clean copy. You did text me saying my mic sounds hollow. That's because it lost connection with my Rodecaster. So there's that. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Real quick. You want to talk British Open, which begins Thursday?
Yeah, I would love to. Let's talk British Open, Zabe. First, I love the British Open. To me, if I'm only going to watch one, it's going to be Augusta. If I'm only going to watch two golf events in the year, the second is British Open. I love rolling out of bed and it's ready to roll.
Especially out west, living in Utah, you're going to get it even earlier. I mean, hell, Thursday morning, the first televised groups are off at 4:30 Eastern. So.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yes. And I love rolling out of bed and having championship level golf with the best golfers in the world going. I love that it rotates courses and, they're all a little different. I haven't seen Carnoustie in 9 years and here it is back. There's so much I love about the British Open. Does it rank?
They're not at Carnoustie this time. Sorry to say that.
I know they're not.
Yeah.
They're
at Royal Birkdale. So, very crispy, very dry. It's been a very hot summer over there. So you're going to get a lot of rock hard, bouncy, runny fairways. It's going to be interesting. Where does it rank? I love it. The only thing that I hate now about the British Open is it's now the last major because they moved the PGA out of August.
That's right.
To May, and I still think that's a mistake. They did it because they want to do the FedEx Cup playoffs in August to wrap up the tour season, get out of the way of football. And I'm like, I get it that you want to get out of the way of football, but you can't live your whole life dodging football. So what? Play the FedEx Cup playoffs to lower ratings in September, opposite football. Us golf hardos will watch it on a second TV or a third TV. You'll still get crowds that go out there. But the golf calendar shouldn't end this week with the major. But it does, and I regret that. But the British Open is
only
great.
Only the majors.
Yeah.
Only the majors.
Right. The British Open is great. The coverage is great. The British announcers through the years have been great. The different style of golf has been great. I'm going to be in Ireland for it starting on Friday night.
What?
Yeah, going to Ireland for a week with some homeboys to play golf. Ireland, not Scotland.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you know, Big Mike and Daryl.
Big Mike.
Yeah, Big Mike, Daryl, JB, some of those clowns.
I golfed with Daryl. All right.
Yeah.
That's super cool. Now, is this British Open in Ireland?
No. They did have it last year in Ireland at Royal, not Royal County Down, but they had it at Royal Portrush. I'm playing Royal Portrush next summer, We're going to Northern Ireland next summer. So
I love that you, and it's how very, very Zabe of you that you have. I don't think you generally pre-plan things out 1 year in advance, but you will for this.
Oh, yeah. No, because to get the best courses, you got to plan ahead. And you got to get a group of guys who are at about the same stage in life where you're like, you know, I could die at any time, especially if I eat Taco Bell and get cyclosporia. So let's go play golf while we're still youngish and hale and healthy. Because ain't nobody can live forever. Ain't nobody can live forever except for Mick Jagger, who was at the soccer game the other night. You're like, holy shit, Mick Jagger's alive. Look at him.
Still looks good, dude. The best moment for me.
Say he looks alive, which I guess is good for his age. It's like 84.
Well, yeah, and think about, yeah, I mean, it's the fact that Keith Richards alive is way more impressive.
Yes.
2000, best open, the best event, the best moment in British Open history for me personally. 2009, Turnberry, Tom Watson, at the age of 59, holding a one-shot lead, going into the final hole on 18. All he had to do was make par. Couldn't do it. He let Stewart sink.
Beat him in a playoff. Catch
him from behind.
Yeah.
They go to the playoff, and then Watson unraveled in that playoff. But that lead up, that Sunday with Watson, could not believe that Tom Watson was going to do. It was absolutely stunning to me.
Yeah.
That Watson was, going to win it. And the whole world's rooting for him. Whole world's rooting against
him. I wasn't rooting for him. Fuck Tom Watson.
Why?
He's an arrogant.
What's Tom Watson?
He's an arrogant prick. Do you ever hear Tom Watson?
Is he?
Yes. I don't have time to get into it with you, but yeah, no. Think about this. You see way more of Jack these days in media. You see way more of Gary Player in media these days. You see way more of Faldo in media these days. Crenshaw. Crenshaw is beloved. Watson is an arrogant prick. And there's a reason he doesn't have any friends, and nobody wants to hear from him. He's kind of irrelevant for a five-time major winner. Great player, choked his fucking lips off in that moment. Granted, he got a bit of a bad bounce on his 8-iron into 18 there. Just hit a little downslope and bounded over the green. But he had what could have been an easy chip for a pro, and he decided to putt it. You know why? Because he was scared in the moment. And the putt wasn't very good. It went like 10 feet by, and the 10-footer for all the glory at 59 had no chance. Like, it wasn't going in from the minute it left the putter face. And good for Stewart Cink for not rolling over in the playoff just because it'd be a nice story. He was like, yoink, I'll take this major. The only major I ever won.
No kidding. Yeah.
So
that's it. That's it. And, you know, Cink was a good player. Wasn't great. He was a good player.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd figure over the course of his career, he'd win a major. And that was probably his only major victory.
Took it from an old man. He stole it from an old man.
Stole it from a 59-year-old man who should have been golfing on the senior circuit.
All right. Charge, always a joy to be with you. Thank you so much for joining me. And we will talk not next week.
Thing.
Yeah. One last thing before I go. Yes? What do you got?
Fred Minnick.
Fred Minnick, our boy, has made the Bourbon Hall of Fame. Fuck yeah, Fred.
Yeah, baby.
This is a Hall of Fame that is administered by the bourbon community in Louisville, and it has some of the most legendary people in it, distillers, those who have been in the spirits game forever, who are revered and renowned, and so Fred is now in amazing company as a Hall of Famer. We couldn't be more happy for him, and we couldn't be more humble that he will actually answer our text if we were to text him, because Fred is that kind of a dude. So congrats to Fred for that.
I'm very happy for Fred Minnick. I think I just saw the news. I figured you didn't talk about it yesterday. I just saw the news come out today. Maybe it happened before. Maybe you've already talked about it.
I heard last week.
Be sure to give him the tip of the hat.
Yep, good stuff.
All right,
Mick Jagger's 82 years old, and he's alive. So there's that. So is Keith Richards, which says maybe doing drugs is overrated when it comes to being bad for your health. I have no idea. Might be less harmful than eating Taco Bell every day and risking it with the lettuce. in the Cyclosporia. All right, Charge is always a joy. Thank you, my buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Rate and review, and we will see you next time. The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now, for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it. Up to $500 back as free play, one-time rollover. Plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.